You have your Bible. I want to encourage you to take those out. Turn to Luke chapter 1, and we're gonna jump into scripture here in just a moment. But while you're turning there, we all kind of piggyback off what I was saying with the kids. We all have these days or weeks. Sometimes maybe it feels like a year where things just don't go right, and God teaches us. It teaches us as we go. I had one of those moments last year at our Christmas Eve service. I was sitting right over here on the front row, and I've shared this with some of you before, but the service started last year, and we were planning to do a candlelight at the end, just like we're going to do this evening. And the service was going, and you know, the band was singing, and it was in it. And then it hit me, like, we have no way. It was my responsibility. I completely forgot about getting something to start the fire with. And so I just look over at Jennifer, and my eyes get, like, really big. And she's like, "Are you okay? Like, or what's going on?" And I'm like, "We don't have a way to start the fire." She's like, "Why do we need to start a fire? Like, what are you talking about?" And I'm like, "I don't have the candle lighting at the end. I don't have a way to start the fire." And she's like, "Oh, wow, yeah, you messed up on that one." No, she didn't really say that, but that's like what I was feeling on the inside. She's like, "Well, I'll go to the gas station and get some." I was like, "I don't want you to go. Like, I don't want you to miss the service." And she was like, "Well, you have to preach. You can't leave." And so she gets up and she walks out. And then Jeff Burton, like, meets her in the back, and he's like, "Where are you going? What's going on?" And she's like, "Josh ruined the service." No, she didn't really say that, but she was like, "Josh forgot to get, like, we don't have anything to start the candle lighting with, and I'm going to go to the gas station and get a lighter." And he's like, "Well, no, I'll go do it." And so Jeff graciously leaves, goes to a gas station down the road. And here's the cool thing. He gets there, and he's like, "Yeah, I need some lighters for my service down here at the church." And I'm sure she was like, "What?" And he explained it. And she said, "Well, let me just tell you this." She said, you're taking these to a church." And he's like, "Yeah." And she said, "Well," she said, "I've been actually just like praying that God would just show up and show me something today, that he's still here and he's still around." And she said, "I've just been having a rough time. Would you care to pray for me and ask the church to pray for me as well?" And so Jeff did, and came back and shared the story with us. And I learned a lesson in all that. One lesson is, like, when you completely screw something up, like, God can still show up and use the mess, right? But more importantly in that, God works in ways that you and I can't always see. And I think buried into the Christmas story, there's this reminder for us that what we see might not be all there is. What we see might not be all there is. And this is just kind of a big idea that I think runs really throughout the Christmas story. We don't really think about it in the context of Jesus' birth, but this idea that what you see and what I see, those things that we see right in front of us, that might not be all that there actually is. And we have to step back from the perspectives that we've adopted on life. Because if we're honest, you and I, all of us, every single one of us in this room, we have a way that we see the world. And if we're really honest, we would all say that the way we see the world is right, right? We would say, "I've got it. This is how I look at it." When it comes to your family, your spouse, how you raise your kids, work, life, sports, I mean, you name it, whatever it is, fill in the blank, you have a perspective. You have a way that you look at that specific scenario and that thing in life. And that impacts then the way that you go about it. So you see a certain way, and this is, a lot of times it's my way or the highway, and this is how it's going to be. And we don't budge on that, right? That's just kind of how we are. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but that's just kind of how we are. And even with the Christmas story, I think we all have a way that we approach Christmas. You have your traditions, you have your things that you commonly do, you have your way that you think about certain parts of the Christmas story. And as we just, I just want us to be aware of what's kind of tracking in the back of our mind, that you and I all have perspectives. We all have a certain way that we see the things that are going on in our life. And I don't know what this year has been like for you. I don't know what the season's been like for you. We've been talking about this idea of an ugly sweater kind of Christmas. And really what that means is that you think about the idea of ugly sweaters. They kind of went from this kind of a gift that you would never want to get at Christmas. Nobody wants to open it up and it be a sweater, to kind of now it's a fashion trend almost. It's this thing that's almost been repurposed, and they can actually tell a story about the person wearing them even. And the good news about Christmas and Jesus and an ugly sweater kind of Christmas that we've been talking about is that Jesus shows up in the middle of our sinfulness, in the middle of our brokenness, in the middle of the ugliness of life sometimes, in the middle of those seasons where we just don't understand why something's happened, like Stacy shared in the video. And it just doesn't make sense to us and we can't wrap our minds around it. Like, God shows up in the middle of that, and his desire is, and what he wants to do is to repurpose that. And in the midst of that, though, he says, I want you to see that what you see might not be all that there actually is. There might be more to what's going on. And God's desire is that we would learn to trust him in that way, that we wouldn't just acknowledge this as a statement, but in our heart we would come to believe that God, the creator of this universe, he is one that is actually inviting me to trust him. He's inviting me into a relationship that will stretch my perspectives beyond what I've always seen and thought. So that's kind of my challenge for you as we jump into the text is would you be willing just to step back and maybe ask God for his vantage point on whatever it is that you're going through? Whatever season you've been in, maybe whatever's coming up around the corner for you in 2019, wondering, oh, how's this going to play out or how's that going to happen? I just want to challenge you and say what you see right now in this moment might not be all there is. I think we see this play out in the lives of some people that we're pretty familiar with in the Christmas story. So if you would, we're gonna start out. We're going to look at Mary first. If you would, look with me in Luke chapter 1 in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is in the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What you might see might not be all there is. Mary began, we learn from Mary here on how this idea kind of plays out. And one thought that I want us to think about underneath this evening is that God's ability to intervene goes beyond your ability to understand. God's ability to intervene goes beyond your ability to understand. And I know for us, sometimes we get frustrated. Maybe you've even in the last week found yourself just frustrated over something. I know there are things that frustrate us, especially this time of year, that show up that maybe don't show up in other times of year. One of those things is shopping lines at the stores. Anybody else get stressed out when you got to go shopping? All right. How many of you this year, though, have found the gift? I think it's kind of just a blessing called Amazon that allows you to shop from your house and never even have to go to the store. I'm so glad. I think I went to Walmart one time and about cried the whole way there. And it was just like, thank goodness for Amazon, right? And but we get frustrated. I get frustrated when I go to a store. It takes longer than it should because I think, again, there's a way this thing should work when I go to the store. And when it doesn't play out like that, we get frustrated, don't we? And so I found some memes on the internet that I thought you'd be able to maybe relate to. So the first one's kind of positive, but it's like, you know, it's like when you're standing in line and the lady's like closing up, but she's like, "Oh no, wait, I'll take one more." And then like, you get to be that one more. And it's like, yes, yes. But how often does that happen? Right. That's usually not how it goes. So we've got some more up here. We could probably more relate to these in our frustration. So the lady at the top is like, get in the shortest line at the store. And then the person ahead of you is writing a check. It's like, what? Who uses text anymore, you know, and it slows it down. And this bottom one, when I saw that, I was like, it must be Walmart. So I zoomed in a little closer. I was like, yep, sure enough it is. 45 checkout lines and only 4 are open. It's like, come on, really? Like, it's Christmas. Can we move a few more people up here to get us checked out? And then there's this one. It's my superpower is picking the slowest moving line at the store. I don't know if you have that kind of luck, but it's always, the line looks short, but it's probably short for a reason, so stay away. But there's that. And then there's, so maybe you get the idea. It's like, I'm not going to stand in line and deal with a person, right? Enough with the people stuff. I'm just going to go to the self-checkout area, right? And that's supposed to be this quick exit in and out, but it's like, you know, you're scanning your thing and then it yells at you and it's like, place your item in the bagging area. And then like you did. And so you're screaming at it. It's like, I just did. I put it in the bagging area. And then it's screaming at you like, unexpected item in the bagging area. And it's like, what? I just put it in there. And so you pull it out and you're like, fine, it's gone now. And then it's like, item removed from the bagging area. Please return to the bagging area. And you're like, I thought this was supposed to make it easier, you know? And it's like, it's just not happening. It's not, we get frustrated. And then we walk out, we're like, ah, bah, humbug. Can we just get through Christmas and be done with it, right? We feel that. But it shows up in all areas. Oh, where does this come from? Again, I think we get so frustrated because we have our way that we see things and how it ought to be. Sometimes it just doesn't play out like that, though. And in a much more serious way, this shows up in all kinds of areas in our life. And Mary, we can learn from her right here because an angel shows up and gives her news and says, look, there's something about to happen to you. You're going to have a baby, and it's going to be this miraculous thing that God's going to do. And like, you're a virgin, and it's going to be a virgin birth. And in her response, she's just, I don't understand. I don't understand. And we look at Mary here and we see that her ability to understand what's happening does not limit or interfere with God's ability to intervene. And I don't know what this year has been like for you. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know maybe what people around you are struggling with. But as we see Mary walk through this and something that God is wanting to bless her with, but she can't even wrap her mind around it. And I know if we're honest this evening, we struggle with things that we can't understand. We want to understand why this happens or why that happens, or I thought it was going to be like this and then it doesn't turn out to be that way, and we struggle with that. And we see Mary kind of wrestling through that tension, and I get it. Like, especially those of you that would say, I'm kind of an intellectual. I like to be able to understand things. I like to be able to know A, B, C, and D and check off everything off the list and wrap my mind all around. I'm going to analyze it to the point that maybe it paralyzes me. I call it analysis paralysis. Like, I'm just going to lock in on this. I'm going to wrap my mind around every detail. I'm going to understand it. But it's interesting that when God chose to come to earth and take on flesh in the form of Jesus, He does it in a way that we can't wrap our minds around. He says, watch this. I'm going to show up and you're not going to be able to understand it. He chooses to show up, and there's a lot of reasons why. We're not going to get into all those, why it had to be a virgin birth. But he does it in such a way that we can't wrap our mind around the concept of a virgin birth. It just doesn't make sense to us. Yet at the core of that, underlying that part of the Christmas story that we maybe just gloss right over, maybe what if God is saying what you see might not be all there is. When it comes to walking with me, when it comes to having a relationship with me, there's going to be things that you just can't fully understand, beginning with how I showed up on this earth. And I would step back and say, I know that's hard. I know as you go through things, it's easier said than done. But what kind of God would it be that we would follow if we could understand everything it was that happened? If our minds could be on the same playing field as God, is that really a God worth following? I mean, would you really want to trust in someone to that degree that you could figure out their every move? I'd rather put myself in submission underneath someone that's got a much bigger plan working out, that I know that can see around the corner, that just because I don't understand what's happening, that doesn't mean it's going to limit him and his ability to show up and do what he needs to do. What you see might not be all there is. And then I love Mary's response here. She in the midst of this moment, she asks a question. And she just says, well, how can this be? How can this be? She asks a very honest, authentic question to the angel, ultimately asking this to God and just saying, well, how can this be? I can't wrap my mind around it. How can it be? And maybe that's where you're at. You're just in the mode of asking God questions. I don't understand this. How can this be? How are you going to show up, God? Really, is next year going to be any different than this year? Because this year's just kind of stunk. It's been pretty bad. Like, maybe those are the conversations you're having with God. And I would just say, hang out in that mode of being authentic and real before God. There is no need to fake it before God because He already knows what's on your mind. He already knows what's on your heart. He knows the struggles that you're going through. And I would say it's in those moments when we can come before Him and just be real and be honest. He's a big enough God that He can handle your questions. And I think when we bring those before Him in prayer, I love what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He gives us a great reminder. He says, do not be anxious about anything. No, we don't even need to talk about that, right? Like, we all got that good. We're good. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul's saying, just bring it. Bring it before God. Don't just keep worrying about it, being anxious about it. Bring it before God, because here's what happens. He says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all what? Understand. Let's do that again, because I want you to see that. Surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul is saying there, what you see might not be all there is. God's ability to intervene is not limited. It is not stopped by your ability to understand. The peace of God actually wants to show up in the midst of that. And God has this pattern of just showing up and doing these kind of things. It's part of His character. It's just kind of who He is, challenging us to think about these things that we can't understand. I mean, you look in the Old Testament, you see many examples of this. Just a couple that you may be familiar with. I mean, you look in Genesis and you see when God tells Noah to start building a boat. It's kind of crazy. As it rained from the sky, they're on dry land. God's like, start building a boat. Noah's like, okay. Can you imagine being like the kids of Noah? It's like, dad's building a boat. And then he keeps building a boat. Like, years later, he's still building a boat. And it's like, come on, dad. It's not going to rain. He's like, no, but God said, build a boat. So I'm going to build a boat. And sure enough, we know what happens, right? You take Joshua as he's leading God's people into the land that God had promised. They come upon the city of Jericho, and God lays out a plan for them to be able to move through the city and take it over. We would maybe say, well, yeah, use weapons, use battle, go in and take it with force and might. And God's like, no, I want you to march around, sing some songs, and blow some instruments. You understand that? And I'd be like, no, are you crazy? Can you imagine following Joshua? And they're like, all right, so what's the plan? How are we going to take him down? And he's like, we're going to march around, we're going to play some instruments, we're going to sing a little bit, and God's going to give us a victory. It'd be like, what? New leader, can we take a vote? But what do? They don't fight. They fight with music, don't they? God's ability to intervene is not interrupted by our ability to understand. And in the midst of that, I love verse 37. If you're following along, look back at that. And I love what the angel says to Mary. In the midst of her questioning, she can't wrap her mind around it. And the angel says, hey, don't forget this. Nothing will be impossible with God. Thank goodness. God's ability to intervene is not dependent on my ability to understand. Is that not good news for you? So I don't know what you're going to be facing right now. I don't know what you might walk through next year. I don't know maybe what someone in your life or your family is going through right now. But I just want us to understand, you may not understand. You may not be able to connect all the pieces. But that doesn't mean God has left. That doesn't mean God is incapable of showing up and moving in your circumstances. What you see might not be all there is. Let's look real quickly at the life of Joseph. I'm getting an example from him. This is if you want to look over in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. What you see might not be all there is. And here's another thought underneath that, is that God's plan could be different than your solution. God's plan could be different than your solution. And we've all been in those situations where you thought like you had it figured out, and you knew exactly how something was going to play out, and then you get the humbling reality that you just kind of missed the mark, or maybe it wasn't as good as you thought it was. I know it's Christmas time. We've all probably done that with a Christmas gift before, right? You plan it out, and you're like, I've got this. It's going to be the most awesome gift. I'm going to give this gift to this person, and they're going to love it. They're never going to see it coming. It's going to be the greatest thing ever. They'll never forget this Christmas because of this gift that they're doing. And I tried to do that last year. I thought I had like this perfect gift picked out for Jennifer, and it was like, I'm going to give her this gift. She's never going to see it coming. She'll never forget this. Like, we had said we're only going to spend this much, but I'm going to splurge, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get this gift for her, and I gave it to her, and it was cool, like, in the moment, and then we were talking a few weeks ago about, like, how much we're going to spend on each other this year, and I was like, I won't splurge this year like I did last year and get you, you know, that, like, I got you that gift like I did last year. And she was like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, you remember, like, I got you that gift last year that I surprised you, and it was so good. And she was like, I don't remember what you're talking about. And I'm just like, my heart sank. And I was like, forget it. Never mind. You're not getting anything this year. Like, but we have those moments, right, where reality hits us. And it's like, I thought I knocked this out of the park. But on a much more serious note, we think we have something figured out in life, right? Maybe that happened to you this year. You're like, this is it. This is my break. This is the direction I'm headed. Like, God's given me clarity. God's moving in this way. I've got this figured out. I see it. And then you realize, no, I don't see it. And that hurts. That's hard. And we look at the life of Joseph right here, and we see that Joseph, he becomes aware of the fact that Mary's pregnant, and he knows it's not from him, and there's something going on here, but he doesn't know what to do with it. And so their culture is a little different than ours. They weren't technically married yet, but in their culture, when you became engaged, it was essentially like you were married. You just couldn't do things that married couples did. I'll keep it PG version. You can figure out the rest. And so that was all that's what Joseph knew about the situation. And so if a woman became pregnant in this engagement period, even though they weren't technically married, it was almost like they were married, but she should not turn up pregnant in this period. And so in their culture of the day, the husband would then have a couple of options. One is he could publicly, like, disgrace her and divorce her, and it was usually done in a very, very shameful kind of way. Or he could have her stoned. Pretty tough. Thankfully, Joseph, being a halfway decent guy, sounds like, chooses not to stone her. And he says, so I'll just divorce her, and I'll do it quietly. I don't want to make a big deal about it. And here's the thing, is Joseph thought he had identified the problem and what was going on, and he had his solution figured out. But then God shows up. You see, it wasn't that Joseph was like completely off. It was just there were things that Joseph couldn't see that were happening. Joseph thought the issue was that he had this soon-to-be wife that was pregnant. That was all he could see. But God said, no, I'm about to redeem humanity, and you're getting to play a part in that. There's a bigger thing happening here, and you just can't see it yet. So trust me in this. And so Joseph responds, and he says, okay, all right, if this is what you want, God, then I'll do it. Sign me up for it. I'm on board with it. And he makes a change in his direction. I know every single one of us in here probably love change. How many of us love change? Like you wake up every day thinking, what can I change about today, right? No, we don't like it. It's tough. Change is hard. And the hard part about change happens in two ways. One, you become aware of what needs to change. That's the first part of it, but that's not really change, is it? Change really happens when you take action on what you know needs to change. That's where it gets hard. And Joseph becomes aware of the fact that he didn't fully understand what was going on. And he says, okay, I'm going to follow through in this. And maybe you're here and the things that you've been going through, God's wanting to speak in and he's trying to give you clarity on something. But you're seeing, if I trust God in this, if I obey God in this, then I'm going to have to make a change. If I want 2018 to be in the past and move forward in 2019, then I'm going to have to listen to God and make some changes that God's leading me into. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to believe in God enough that you can trust that what you see might not be all there is? And as you do that, if you're bold enough and willing to trust him in that way, he shows up and he begins to do things that you just, goes back to what I said earlier, you can't understand. You can't wrap your mind around the way that God starts to move. And as he does that, he gives you a story that you can then start to tell. And it may be a story of how God calls you out of some ugliness and brokenness and begins to use your seemingly broken story to tell a greater story about how he's moving in your life, because what you see might not be all there is. It could be that God is wanting to minister to all kinds of people around you through your story and through your pain and through your hurt. You heard testimony from Stacy earlier in the service. I want to share with you one last testimony really quick from a lady named Penny Sparks. This is a part of The Grove. Some of you are familiar with her. And so I want you to check out her story really quick.
And my husband and I had a vision for a church that we hoped someday God would allow us to plant. We dreamed and we talked about it, but it wasn't till years later. And Scott was the founding pastor. My husband was the founding pastor of The Grove. So we had kind of transitioned out. Scott had been praying about it and felt like for quite some time that God was calling him to something else. In February of last year, Scott contracted the flu, came home from a basketball game where he was keeping the book and shivers and in bed. And after a series of hospitalization and 13 days later, Scott passed away from complications of the flu. So it was not anything we saw coming. We thought the next chapter of life, we had no idea what it was, but God had always been faithful. And so I found myself a widow unexpectedly. I've just been told that my husband is not going to live and I'm going to have to take him off a respirator. And I'm standing there with my three sons. I just felt a peace. And it was God saying, I'm going to be here. And the verse that just kept coming to me over and over again was, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Because as I saw and heard about the people in the waiting room and saw all these people coming in to see my husband, I saw the impact and the influence his life had made. And I thought, God, this is what you meant. This is what you meant for me to live as Christ, but to die as gain. And Cooper, my middle son, at one point leaned over and said, Mom, he wouldn't come back now if he could. The emotions and the things that came in the next days were just a devastating dependence, because every morning it was waking up and saying, God, I trust you and help me. Right after everything happened, I depended on God. It was every day, but it was hard to be around people. It was hard to be social, because I was always wondering, are they looking at me like the widow? You know, I didn't want to go to Walmart and watch people buy family-sized things that I was no longer buying. You know, I didn't want to be out. And God convicted me. He said, you need your community. They've been there for you. You need your community, and your community needs you too. And so it's time to step back in. It's time to, and I'm going to be here with you, and step back in slowly and do it. And I remember even coming back to the Grove the first time and thinking, I can't go in and sing worship songs. Not because I've not worshiped my God, but because my emotions are so strong. And I would get angry that I was a widow. But I was never really angry at God. It was more my situation. But as each emotion came, one of the things that God kept bringing me back to is, don't hold on to your emotions, but hold on to what you know is true. Because there were days I got out of bed and I didn't feel like a Christian. And I didn't feel like a mother, and I didn't feel like a coworker, and I didn't feel like a Bible study leader. But God said, that's not true. You know, it's not about how you feel, it's what you know to be true. And that's where scripture would come back, and I would feel him say, be still and know that I'm God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. My ways are not your ways. But when the rubber meets the road and you're in your lowest point, to say, do I really believe it? And do I really hold on to it? And to say, God, I will, you know, and I believe in my devastating dependence on God, there's an intimacy there. And so I felt the weakest I've ever felt in my life. And the verse says, in my weakness, in your weakness, it's made strong. Has come to light for me, because God's not disappointed in my weakness. It's in those moments that we're the most intimate with each other. One of the things that God showed me over the past year is use your story. A mosaic is a piece of art that is put together by just jagged pieces of glass that are all made, stained glass, that are all come together. And I feel like a jagged piece of glass right now. I feel smooth in some places and broken in others. But I feel like when I join together with my community of believers, and we all have broken edges and came together, God's working on this beautiful mosaic. I think our world screams at our insecurities to look at everybody around us. My joy is not dependent on my circumstance. It's not dependent on if I'm having a good day or a bad day. I have to cling to what I know to be true and what doesn't change and hasn't changed for thousands of years. You know, when I struggle with my grief and I don't know what to do with things, I go to people who I know in their faith lead me to scripture and lead me to God. So
it's a powerful example, probably more powerful than anything I've said, that what you see might not be all there is. And as Stacy and Penny both shared through their stories this evening, that you don't understand why you go through what you go through, but that doesn't mean God's gone. Doesn't mean God can't intervene. He's still at work. He's still there. And when we think about Jesus being born, I mean, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came and he was born in a manger. What kind of throne is that for a king, right? That he would come and be born in a manger. What lesson is in that for us? And it's, I think, what Penny would say and Stacy would say, and I think what ultimately Jesus is wanting us to understand is that whatever your starting point is, even whatever your present situation is, that doesn't have to determine how you move forward. That doesn't have to determine how you continue. Those things don't have to define you. The ugliness, the messiness, the things you don't understand, those things don't have to hold you back from being who God wants you to be and experiencing the thing and then being able to tell the story of how God shows up and works in your life. We serve a very powerful God that chose to show up in a seemingly powerless way by being born in a manger. But that's the kind of God that loves us, and that's the kind of God that wants to show up in our ugliness and say, let me walk through this with you. So I just want to ask you this evening, as we kind of come into just a point of reflection for you personally, let this sink in for just a moment. If you would just kind of bow your heads and just begin to just ask, can you just ask God a question like, God, what are you trying to show me that I can't see right now? You just begin to ask God that question. Would you be bold enough to ask that? God, what are you trying to show me right now that I can't see? I believe God's working. I believe he's moving. I believe he wants to speak into you right now. What is it that he wants to speak to you about? I'm just going to pray over us, and then we're going to declare a pretty powerful song about how powerful Jesus really is. And that name, Emmanuel, God with us, and what that really means for us in the here and now. But as I pray, I just wonder, is there anyone here this evening that would just slip up their hand and say, you know what? there's things in my life I wish I could see and I wish I could understand, and I just don't right now. And would you just pray over me? Is there anybody that would just slip up their hand and say, that's me, that's where I'm at right now? I'm just gonna be honest before God. You just slip up that hand, his hand's going up. Just raise, you're not raising those up for me. You just as a confession to God. Just saying, God, I don't understand some of these things right now, but I'm raising my hand up saying, I want you to speak. I'm just gonna pray over us, and I just want to invite you to let the Spirit stir in you. And Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the reminders this time of year that you're there, you're present, you always have been. And I just pray over us right now, God, that this would not just be another Christmas moment, another thing that we've now checked off our list of our holiday routine, but God, that you would speak and breathe into this moment right now. We thank you for the stories of sisters in Christ and Stacy and Penny and the struggles that they went through this year and their willingness to share those. God, how many of us in this room have went through things this year and you're wanting to give us enough perspective that we could even use that story to begin to impact other people. God, maybe we're just in a place right now where we're not even thinking about telling our story. We're just trying to get through it. Pray, God, that you just show up right now and speak into our hearts. Thank you that you don't leave us. You don't turn your back on us. You don't walk away. God, if anything, you continue to run to us. You continue to chase us down. You continue to call us to yourself. And I pray for every single one of us in this room right now. We would just sense your presence, not just because this is a service or a sermon or, but God, because you're real, because you want a relationship with us. You don't just want us to experience you or feel you in a building. You want to walk with us, God, as we live, work, and play, and in everything we do. And I just give you thanks for that. And I just pray, God, that sink in a little bit more to us in these moments. We thank you for the power of your name. Thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. That we can rest and trust in you, knowing that there's just things we can't see. And that's okay, because you're still God and you're still good. We thank you in Jesus' name.